The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs dominated the Ravens. The Tennessee Titans have some positive coronavirus tests. And Doc Rivers is out as the head coach of the Clippers. But all of that is going to have to wait because we have a very special guest. The head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team is here with us. Juwan Howard, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Big Noob!
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? Thanks for having me.
So nice to have you on the program. And one of the reasons we really wanted to have you on is because as we are on the eve of the NBA Finals, you played for the Heat. You were the assistant coach of the Heat. You also played with LeBron James. As this matchup is upon us, how is it that LeBron James has been so effective this late into his career?
I would say this from my experience of the relationship that we've had, being a former teammate like you mentioned, and also being a guy that been in the locker room to help coach, and or you can call it coaching when I was an assistant there. But LeBron has always done an excellent job of first taking care of his body. He's one of the guys that I've seen that really truly invest in his body, in his conditioning, preparing himself to play at a high level. Another big reason is because his passion and love for the game of basketball. And last but not least, his goal to be great. And he truly has accomplished all three. So I'm so happy for his success. And he's looking forward to it. I know he is for this this championship run. And I know Miami Heat is looking forward to the challenge.
Big Nuke, the entire staff is so happy that you're here because you got a fresher cut than mine, and they tell me this every day.
No.
The Juwan Howard that I know that played with LeBron James, also that grew up in Chicago, idolizing one Michael Air Jeffrey Jordan, who's on your shirt right now. You know the debates are going to happen if he wins the championship this year. So how will winning the championship this year with the Lakers affects LeBron's all-time legacy?
Well, I mean, he's always going to be mentioned as one of the greatest to ever play the game, regardless if he wins or loses in the finals. LeBron is such a special, well-gifted athlete, but not only that, just an athlete, but an overall basketball player. I mean, the guy's passionate. He's driven. He loves playing basketball, and that's a part that I've always appreciated. He loves playing basketball, and that's why he's had success, because he works on his game, he enjoyed the competition of it, and then for someone at his size to be able to play at a high level the way he does, and then his basketball IQ, being a teacher of the game, is off the charts. So I'm always been, and I always continue to be a LeBron James fan, and I know it'll always be a debate on who's the greatest, who's the GOAT between him and MJ, but I'm not about to get into that today. You guys not going to put me on the spot at this moment, because MJ is MJ, man. And Jalen, you and I played against MJ, and I've had an opportunity to train with him, and I know how special that man is as when he played the game of basketball and what he's done for the game of basketball. And you're right, looking at the brand, and I'm wearing the Jumpman brand, and the University of Michigan is a Jordan brand school. I am not about to debate that right now.
Well, we won't put you on the spot there, but I do want to ask you about this relationship, and that is Pat Riley and LeBron James. And obviously things went so well while they were playing together, but now they face off in the finals, and Pat Riley said that when LeBron left, it was like watching a dynasty go out the window. And you were there at that time. What was that transition like, and do you think there's still animosity?
Well, I would say it was heartbreaking. When you lose a guy like LeBron, who's had so much impact on your franchise, the team, the season, you know, the energy that he brought in the building every day, not just, you know, one single day. He brought it. He was really, you know, pours passion into the franchise. And when he left, we all was hurt because we knew how much he meant to the team. And then for us to be able to go to four straight finals, I mean, that's unbelievable. That's unheard of. But then we had to, of course, rebuild. And Pat Riley did a phenomenal job of slowly, strategically making sure that the culture first was always intact, but then adding to and bringing in guys that he felt will be guys that can step in and help the franchise continue with this success.
I'm so glad that Eric Spoelstra was able to lift this team to the NBA Finals, because being on this stage, everyone now gets to appreciate his greatness. I've already said, if there was a fantasy draft for NBA coaches, he would be my number one pick. What is Eric Spoelstra like as a head coach?
Man, grinder. He's also is a basketball genius. In my personal opinion, and I'm not being biased here, Eric Spoelstra should go down as one of the Hall of Fame coaches when he's done coaching, because the guy is, you know, he knows basketball. He's always about that growth mindset of how he can grow to get better, to prepare his team to play at a high level. And he's proven that he's had success while doing it each and every year. And then he also have had a hell of a staff. I mean, guys like Dan Craig, Chris Quinn, those two guys who will be future head coaches in this league someday, and the many others that he have a part of his support staff. So Spo, he is, in my opinion, and he should have been, in my opinion, the coach of the year.
Well, one thing that's always associated with Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley and the players and the people like yourself that were part of the culture, what exactly is Heat culture? We hear about it all the time, but explain to me how that manifests itself when
Miami
you're on the team
Mafia.
Or when you're coaching.
Well, you just, Jada just said it. It's like, you know, Miami Mafia. So if I tell you everything, then we might not see you anymore, Jacoby. So I have to be, you know, very selective on what I say, because I also enjoy my life too and what I'm doing here in Michigan. So I'll just keep it simple like this. You know, everyone's not for Miami Heat culture. And once you buy into the culture, you know, success will happen for yourself individually and also to the team. But you have to buy in to the culture, and it results to winning, and it results to winning on all levels. And so you can see like the track record of all the guys that came through the Heat culture. Those who didn't stick around were those who, of course, who didn't buy in. Guys like Udonis Haslem is an example of the Heat culture. A guy like Alonzo Mourning, who's still with the organization in the front office position, he's an example of the Heat culture. D-Wade is a great example of the Miami Heat culture.
And the beauty about being a part of the Heat culture is, I want to drill down a little bit further on this. Pat Riley has coached the best players in the game, whether it was Magic and Kareem, Dwayne Wade and Shaq, and then you guys, Big Three. But now, I feel like if he's not going to have all-time great players like that, he want to have a blue-collar team like this with a bunch of grinders, players that feel like they've been overlooked. Can you talk about how the locker room in Miami is vastly different about how you go about approaching your job every day, and how players like Jimmy and Bam continue to foster that as it continues to build?
Well, it starts first, I have to go with Bam. You know, Bam was there before Jimmy arrived. And Bam has always been one of the toughest competitors. He's always had that chip on his shoulder, like he's been counted out. Even though he was, you know, a lottery pick, Bam also feels like being, you know, considered an undersized big. And some look at him as not as talented as some other bigs. But now this season, a lot of folks are really starting to realize and understand like what Bam brings to the table, with not only just filling up a stat sheet, but his skill set alone. I mean, the kid can score the basketball, facing the basket. He's very good at putting the ball on the floor, making plays for himself or for others. He's super athletic, has a unbelievable basketball IQ that he doesn't really get credit for. But the people within the organization at the Miami Heat understands what he brings to the table, because a great coach like Spo put him in a position to be able to make plays for his teammates. And you can look at, you know, Bam, you know, sometimes he brings the ball up and he's looked at as your point guard or point forward or point center, whatever you want to call him, but he's positionless. And then you have a guy like a Goran Dragic, who's been there for years. He has that chip, but he also has that grit about him and skill set. And so when you bring a guy like Jimmy in, who people have said, like, hey, you know, he's a guy that ruffled people the wrong way. He's a leader, but the way how he leads, you know, guys don't like it. Well, Jimmy, I mean, I would say this, and it's shown, he fits the Heat culture. And that's the perfect person to bring in to be that guy, to now blend in with the guys that were already there. And then you add a guy like Iguodala, who has that championship pedigree. And then you talk about a guy by the name of Jay Crowder, who has a grit and toughness about him, a level of competitiveness that has been seen throughout these playoffs, and he can make shots. And then you also add the other guys like Duncan Robinson, who, by the way, he's a Michigan man, so let me just
hail to the victors.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the best shooters that, you know, this game has ever witnessed. And so he has grit, he has toughness, he also is a competitor himself. And then let me not forget Tyler Hero. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch him at Kentucky, but I have watched him now. And this guy, man, he's blossoming to a star. It's coming. It's coming. And what he's provided for the team, whatever role that he's been asked to, you know, to be play at, whether it's as a starter off the bench, I mean, he's delivered. And you can count on him. And he's a competitor. And you can just see the competitiveness in him, because he's not afraid at a young age to be able to do what he's doing in a playoffs. And yeah, people say, hey, this is a bubble. You know, the critics would say he hasn't done it in an NBA season where he's got to go on a roll. You can just see certain guys has it. And he has that it factor.
Absolutely. Now, we have to ask you some questions about the upcoming Michigan men's basketball season. What do you know about the Big Ten's plans and scheduling, and how this season will work as we are in the middle of a pandemic?
Well, I would say this, fellas, that there will be a season. And right now, the start date they're saying is November 25th. Don't really know exactly when the Big Ten conference schedule will start, but I'm assuming it's going to be sometime in December. Our guys are gearing up for it. We're training hard. Doing where we can first to keep our guys' health, you know, as number one, their safety as number one. But then the basketball part of it and what we're doing on the court, you know, I see the growth in our guys, and they're excited. I'm excited to have the opportunity to be able to coach a great group like this. We're going to truly, you know, as we always try to do, be as competitive as we possibly can, compete at the highest level, and, you know, be ready to go out there and perform.
So, Juwan, you don't know this, but I'm going to give you a little peek into the psyche of Jalen Rose. When you were announced as the head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team, it was like he had a child or something. He was so happy. He was beaming just for weeks. Still, he's still on cloud nine about it. So can you just speak to the significance of yourself being the head coach and the Fab Five sort of being reintegrated into the Michigan men's program?
Well, I would just tell you this. If you could look over my shoulders, and you can just see that beautiful picture that's right behind me. And yes, you see number five that's sitting down there. And, you know, Jalen has always been, and I'm not saying it because he's right here and this is the show, but he's been a huge part of why Michigan has been successful. You know, and the energy that he's brought, his passion for the school and that Block M, he's shown that publicly. Jalen also did an amazing job in supporting me in getting this job. I would never forget that. He knows how my passion is for as far as helping growing these young men to become the best version of themselves as student athletes. We sat on this campus before together. We've been in the trenches together. And so we've had some talks in the dorm rooms. We've had plenty of talks in our apartments and talking about what's our next stage and how we're going to help serve the people in this world. And we're on his platform, what he's doing, he's impacting so many. I'm inspired by it. I've learned a lot from him. I've seen his growth, and I'm one of his biggest supporters and will always be. And I know how he feels about me. And not only just Jalen, but Chris, Jimmy, Ray, and then Coach Fisher. I mean, those guys right there are my family. And so when I sit at my desk, or even when I walk into my office, you know, I have this big picture behind me because I know that these guys got my back. They have my support. That's why I put this picture here. And so I don't have to be reminded, but I know from their heart that they're always supporting me.
Thank you so much, Coach, for joining the show. Wish you the best with this season. And when Thanks we come lot, back, Coach. We have a lot to cover. Thank Stay you. Tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
It's a new day on ESPN Radio with new voices that have big things to say. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
That's how you build a winning culture.
The Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz.
You are like the Einstein of life.
Reading.
How ridiculously good was that?
The Max Kellerman Show.
Why not get out in front of it?
And Janae and Golic Jr.
I knew we were destined for greatness.
All day, every day.
Big names, new voices.
It is time to go to work.
Real talk. Weekdays on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and smart speakers everywhere.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Want to thank Juwan Howard for coming by and joining us. Make sure you listen to our podcast where we have exclusive content with him as well. And right now we have a developing story in the NFL. Three Tennessee Titans players have tested positive for the coronavirus. Five members of the team staff have also tested positive for the coronavirus. There are implications all over the league. They have shut down their facility. The Vikings, who they played last week, have shut down their facility. And there is no plan as of yet as to what to do with their upcoming game in Nashville against the Steelers. Jalen, we knew this was going to happen, and it's happened. What do you think the dominoes will be from here?
No surprises. The goal when you sign up is you want to try to find a way to have an NFL season. You're anticipating people are going to test positive. The thing that I just don't want people to continue to dismiss is that over 200,000 people in America have died from coronavirus. So just because we're saying somebody tests positive, it seems like in sports we kind of dismiss it like it's not a big deal. I just hope the people that did test positive don't have any serious side effects or after effects due to the coronavirus.
Obviously, and make sure you stay tuned to ESPN because this is a developing story that will change over time. And I really hope that they get to play all the games in the schedule in the NFL. They had a big one scheduled last night, and it was fascinating. It is the Chiefs against the Ravens in Baltimore, and it was the Patrick Mahomes show. Jalen, I know you like this one. What do you see from Patrick Mahomes?
I was singing one song watching the game. It was like, I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level. That's all I was thinking when I was watching Mahomes. To me, like, to watch him spray the football across the lot is so amazing to watch, Jacoby. You see the Cheetah over here. You see Hardman over here. You got Kelsey over here. We got your guy Lair in the backfield. It's, like, so refreshing to watch. But here's what I want to make sure I point out. Why ain't nobody gave Eric Bieniemy a blank check to try to get him away from the Chiefs? I just don't understand. He's clearly proven to be the best offensive coordinator we have going in the game. Like, if I'm somebody, I'm trying to scoop him up immediately to be my head coach. As a matter of fact, I got a job for him. There's a gentleman in Detroit that goes to games, and he has something in his ear. At some point, he might not be showing up with that thing in his ear. If that's the case, Eric Bieniemy, we got to have him on our radar. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, and what Reed and Bieniemy and Mahomes do is just fascinating. I mean, the camera doesn't know where to point because he's faking the camera out. He's just getting those snap. He's doing a play-action fake, and then he's a ball fake over here, and he's underneath to the fullback. He's going above to the tackle. It's just like it's fascinating. All the misdirection plays that they have, it is so much fun to watch because you think it's going to be a sweep right and ends up going the other direction. It was so much fun to watch yesterday, but one thing that was difficult to watch is the MVP of the league struggle. Jalen, Lamar Jackson had some difficulty with that Chiefs defense yesterday. A lot of folks on the Chiefs offense, but what do you think of the defensive performance and Lamar Jackson?
Outstanding defensive effort by the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you didn't watch the game, it wasn't this close because the Chiefs kicking game wasn't all of that. for the Ravens, they got a special teams touchdown, and you know how much I love those. I'm just missing them in the game so much. I was so giddy when it happened. But I need to put on glasses for this one because you saw something last night that you will never, never see again. That's Lamar Jackson play a football game and not have 100 yards passing or rushing. That will never happen again. So congratulations to the Chiefs.
Jalen, you mentioned him earlier, and I just want to put the spotlight back on him. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Eric Bieniemy's new toy, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Did he run for 100 yards? No. But he doesn't have to because he runs for enough yards. And what he does as a receiver in this offense is just so impressive. They don't just swing him out to the flat every time. He's running routes. He's getting open yards after catch. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is such a potent weapon in this offense. It was so good to see him get completely unlocked yesterday. And Jalen, we have some other huge news in the world of sports. Doc Rivers is out as the head coach of the Clippers. We will break that down right after this. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. The NBA Finals are here. The Heat and the Lakers square up Wednesday at 9 p.m. on ABC. And don't forget to watch NBA Countdown at 8:30 on ABC. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Doc Rivers and the Clippers have mutually agreed that he will no longer be the head coach of the franchise. What is next for him and what is next for the Clippers?
I like the term mutual because this squad underachieved. As you know, I pick them to win it all this year. So, you know, Ballmer and Jerry West, they were not happy about that. And it was the third time Doc has led a team that was up 3-1 and they lost, which means they probably need a different voice in the first chair. But Doc did a great job of hiring people that could replace him. Tyronn Lue will be a great next coach for the Clippers. I would have Sam Cassell stay on to be associate head coach. Doc could get another job. There's so many openings out there.
Want to thank Juwan Howard for coming through. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. We have exclusive content with Juwan on there. We're off for a couple days. We'll be back on Friday. Enjoy the finals.
We're not done. All right, Juwan, NBA Finals 2020. You're a part of the Miami Mafia. They're playing against a story franchise in the Los Angeles Lakers. And your former teammate who you won a championship with and coached, LeBron James. Who's your pick to win it all this year?
You know, Jay, you put me on the spot, man. And, you know, I got to be real with you. My heart is for both. But, you know, being LeBron and Rob Pelinka, you know, Rob being a Michigan alum and one of our former teammates. And then you have to throw in the Miami Heat. And Miami Heat is a big reason why I'm here today. Miami Heat has helped mold me into a head coach and helped develop me. And I learned a lot from that franchise, learned a lot from everyone that's in place there at this moment. And, you know, I would have to say, you know, looking at it from overall aspect, and I'm not just putting just my heart in it, it's a bubble. And Miami Heat is perfect for a bubble setting. And you just look at, you know, their track record on getting to this NBA Finals and who they had to face. And the Celtics, it's not, you know, as you and I both know, not a pushover team. The Lakers, you know, they had an unbelievable run, and they faced some very, you know, challenging opponents. But at the end of the day, I have to go with the Heat in seven.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow. Juwan Howard picks the Miami Heat to win the NBA Finals. So you've sort of been at the whiteboard with Eric Spoelstra before and put together game plans. What do you think he will do to try to limit LeBron James and Anthony Davis?
Well, I can't predict exactly what he will do, but I will say this. I know it's going to be very uncomfortable for LeBron. I know that he's not going to be able to play freely out there and be able to make decisions without feeling bodies and, more importantly, without having men in his face. He's going to have to work for every basket because he's going to have some guys that's going to be competing against him, that has not bought into the shock effect. They're not fans, and they're competitors. And so not saying that others that he's faced are not competitors, but Miami has a certain type of DNA, and it starts with the leadership. And so when you have a coach like Spoelstra with his game planning for any type of series, and the way how I've seen it, and I've been in that room with him and sat in a lot of meetings and film sessions and coaches meetings, and his preparation is like no other. Did he get any sleep? No, he hadn't gotten any sleep, but he's energized for this challenge, and his thoughts, he's been preparing for this. Not saying he's been looking past his opponents, but he's been excited about this opportunity, and all of them are embracing it. And I mean by all, I'm speaking of 1 through 15, and then also the coaching staff. So with the preparation for any type of series, I give the edge to Spo. Spo is been waiting for this moment right here, and he's not running from the challenge at all whatsoever. But, you know, a game planner, he's one of the best when it comes to architecting and getting his team prepared on a game plan on what's is best to give his team the best chance to win. And by the way, in game by game, he's also great at making adjustments.
And we saw that in the previous series, the way they did a really good job with that zone against the Boston Celtics, really took him out of the middle of the floor, took him out of their offense. I think that's something that may play a factor in this series. As LeBron crossed half court, I'm throwing Jimmy and Crowder at the top, keeping him out of the middle and trying to do a lot of the things they do against the Celtics. I know you saw the zone and how effective it was against the Celtics. Do you think something like that will work against the Lakers?
Yes, I do. And, you know, there's another monkey wrench that you can throw at it, too, at the top. You know, putting Bam Adebayo at the top. Because LeBron is always primarily the decision maker with the ball in his hands when Rondo is out of the game. So when you have size that is up there, and then not only just size, but strength and size along with foot speed, you know, Bam does an excellent job of moving his feet. He does a great job of guarding without fouling. And he's not, you know, a little guy either. You know, he accepts not only just the challenge, but he also accepts, you know, contact. You know, a lot of guys run away from contact, and Bam, Jimmy, and also Crowder, and Iguodala. I mean,
Iggy.
Oh man, you know it's. And then you know, let's not forget the guy Derrick Jones Jr. I mean, he didn't play a lot against the Celtics, but you know, keep your eyes on what's going to happen with that guy in the series. You know, when you talk about a guy by the name of AD.
Juwan, we've discussed the Heat culture a lot, but here you are as the head coach of the Michigan men's basketball team. How do you sort of, what are you trying to instill in the culture there in Michigan and Ann Arbor?
Well, the culture here is, yes, I have been able to steal a little bit of what I've learned from the Miami Heat culture. I would be a fool not to, because I know what culture does. It helps breed success, and not only with success comes greatness. So I feel that any business that wants to have success, you got to have a culture in place. And one of the things that has always been great with our culture is our core values. And the core values has started not just by the coach, but also with the players. You know, the players are active participants, and they have to have a voice within their own culture in order for them to hold each other accountable, and then more importantly, embrace the culture. So we're doing our, and they know how much support that I have behind them. And I mean by them, I'm speaking of our players, our student athletes. They have bought in, and we're going to continue to keep, you know, thriving day after day, learning and growing with each other day after day. And I think, you know, we're going to come out pretty good out of this pandemic. I feel very confident with it.
One of the things I learned about the Heat culture a long time ago, as my former high school teammate Voshawn Leonard was also a part of that Miami squad,
right,
that had some great playoff runs. When I came to town, it was one thing to break bread and have dinner and all of that. But when we got to the arena, he couldn't look at me, Jacoby. We couldn't talk to each other, no helping each other up, none of that. There's a level of toughness that goes with that culture that I think people underestimate. Can you acknowledge that part of it?
Yeah, you're right. That is true. There's no friendship. There's no where you know, the buddy friendship is happening on the floor. I mean, we're friends after the game, but before the game, or sometimes night before the game, you know, guys don't really go to dinner with their opponents because, you know, there's no fraternizing here. We believe in, hey, we have a job to do right now. We're competitors. We're friends off the floor when the game is over. But when the buzzer sounds, you know, I'm trying to win, and we're trying to do whatever it takes to win. And guys have bought into that, and that's a part of, you know, it started with Coach Riley, and it became a domino effect where everyone else has bought into that type of, you know, attitude and approach and mindset when, you know, before games. And I, it just don't even happen just with the game situation, but just overall in general. When I was there, when I was a player with the Miami Heat, I recall who was it at the time came in town for dinner. That's a sign of age, guys. I'm getting a little older, but his name's gonna come to me later. But you know, I had a buddy of mine that hit me up talking about we're gonna grow grass for dinner, and I'm like, you know, and I'm gonna go ahead and pass on that. You know, I had to come up with a good excuse, just not, you know, make it feel like, you know, I was just. And I just ignoring them, or I didn't want to hang out with them. But I knew deep and down that, you know, I didn't want to be caught out, you know, hanging out with one of my my former teammates or the guys that we're going to be playing against the next day, and I come back and, you know, someone in the organization hear about it. And I didn't ever want to be that guy.
You didn't want to walk past your table at Prime 112, right?
Yeah, the Prime 112. Yeah, I was like, nah. I get at Prime after the game if y'all stand over.
Well, as the head coach of Michigan, you're responsible not just for the development of these young men, like ages 18 to 22 as basketball players, but also as young men in society. And we're in a society that's dealing with the racial reckoning and the fight against social injustice. How do you speak to them about that during these times?
Well, this is the time when you really have to, like, you know, grab your players, hug them up, be available to not just have these conversations, but listening to, you know, what they have to say and what they feeling and what they dealing with, because the mental health aspect is real, especially during this climate right now on what we're facing in this country. Voting was a huge part for us when we were talking about, you know, solutions early on back in March. You know, we got together as a team and we had Zoom call, and we're figuring out, you know, putting down our punch lists as far as what are solutions to move forward, to move the needle into the right direction. And our players first started with voting. They said, we all got to register to vote. And everyone was very active, being an active participant and getting registered to vote. We have 100% participation in that field. Another part of it was, too, was getting out in the communities and being available to, and being on the grounds and hearing what our communities are saying and how we can help with use our platform to help with all the messages that are out there. Because what we've seen today and the leadership that we have in place, we all looking forward to seeing a change. And change must happen in November.
Well said, Coach. And before we let you get out of here, I want to ask you something, because in collegiate sports, in particular in basketball and football, I've been disappointed for decades just the lack of minority leadership that is in position. Now that conversation is being had in the NBA and the NFL as well, from ownership to president to GM and coaches. It seems like sports that have predominantly black players out on the floor and on the field don't have the same representation. So amongst collegiate coaches and also somebody that coached in the league, how do you see that playing out currently, and what do you think the leagues and or the NCAA can do to make those jobs more diverse and opportunities?
Well, I'm just looking at, like, you know, first, and I have to give credit to Coach Pat Calipari, also to Tommy Amaker. Having the McClendon initiative, with the McClendon initiative is what they're doing, is having all the coaches participate in a fund that will help set up the minorities to be able to have an opportunity to have a position in some of these athletic department offices, because there are very few minorities that have high jobs here in the collegiate level. For example, I'm very fortunate enough to have an excellent leader in Ward Manuel, but then we also have one like Gene Smith. But, you know, we want to see these young, you know, kids that are coming from these different communities that want to be that next Ward Manuel and Gene Smith, who cannot be the next student athlete that's playing on basketball on a football team, but they want to be in one of those type of job positions. So that's what that initiative is in place for, those kids to have that as an opportunity for them to be able to come in and intern and be a paid intern and grow them in that position. So that's a start that I see that the NCAA is doing. And it started, like I said, with those coaches that I mentioned, and hopefully it will grow. I would like to see more happening for a lot of the minorities to get an opportunity to make their presence felt on the collegiate level, because there are a lot of qualified individuals that are being overlooked. And I think once they get a seat or at least get a chance to have a seat at the table, there will be a lot of change, and change in the right direction, because that's the thing we want. We want to see change, yes, but in the right direction for some solutions to move forward, to move the needle, to give a fair opportunity for others.
Thank you so much for your time, Coach. You're always welcome to come back anytime you want. We'll be rooting for the Maize and Blue.
I love you, family.
All
have a great
winter
day.
Long.
Thank you, fellas. I appreciate support. Now, I want to say this before I go. Your show has the best intro that's out there. The music, you know, that's so fitting. And then all of that. You know, it's just like there's so much realness about it. So I just want to say, guys, man, keep doing what you're doing. I'm a big fan. And thank you guys for having me, man. Much love.
I want to thank Juwan Howard for coming through. I want to thank Jalen for reaching out to make sure Juwan Howard came through. We are off Wednesday and Thursday of this week, but we will be back on Friday. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.